Welcome back to Pop Topic. We're here to discuss the latest news in pop culture trends. I'm your host, Quentin Phillipson, and with me is my co-host who has been watching Disney Plus nonstop this week, our good friend, Alexander Welling. How are you doing this week?
For once, you've made an opening comment that is genuinely true. I have been watching Disney Plus this entire week, ever since it's come out. But you know, it wasn't the only thing I've done this week. Obviously a lot of working, because that's the usual stuff. But I went out and did a little bit of Christmas shopping. I bought your gift, sir. So your gift is paid for and bought for. It's sitting in my room right now.
You got me a present?
I did get you a present.
Oh, wow. Way to put the pressure on me now. I'm going to have to get you a present. Do we have like a price range?
Well, mine was under $20. I'm not going off on you like I'm going off on my girlfriend right now.
All right. Whew, that's good. Because, yeah, I could not afford two girlfriends worth of presents.
No, just a small little thing.
Perfect. All right, good. Yeah, I'll pick you out a little thing. Maybe like a fun little joke off of one of our infamous stories. We'll see. Is it Justin Bieber's house that you put up for auction on Instagram?
No, it's not.
Oh, I was going to say that would have been pretty good if you got that for under 20. I'm with you. I decided to tell the truth this time and finally do an intro for you that is relatively accurate. And yeah, it's been accurate for me as well. All I have done has been watching Disney Plus. And yeah, that's pretty much been my whole week. Just been finally watching the Star Wars films for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. Andrea watched Emperor's New Groove for the first time ever.
That's insane.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how funny that movie was. Every time I watch it, I forget how good it is. That's a great film. And then we both watched the live-action Lady and the Tramp for the first time. So, watched a bunch of new stuff. It was fun. And mm-hmm. I also went on a double date to a escape room for my mm-hmm. second time ever. I've only been there twice now. And I've been 2 for 2 for losing. So, I'm pretty good at these.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so if you ever want to have a challenge with an escape room, just invite me and I'll drag you guys down. That's pretty much all I did. I led them to like the wrong trails for these kind of things. We were in an abandoned school and we had to escape the school, I guess. Mm-hmm. Apparently there was like 2 rooms. We didn't even leave the first room by the time it was over. So it's pretty embarrassing. Yeah, I helped with, honestly pretty much nothing. So, yeah, that's why Disney Plus was more exciting of a story this week. I don't feel as big of a failure when I'm watching Star Wars. So that really is our big story for this week, which is Disney Plus. It was launched this week. Finally, we've waited how long? We've talked how many months worth of stories on this podcast about Disney Plus and all the content. We finally got to see it all for ourselves. More than 10 million people signed up for Disney Plus on the first day.
Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Yes, which obviously led to a lot of issues and glitches for the first few days. I believe it's mostly fixed now. There's still a bit of an issue every now and then. But as a whole, it's finally back on track. But yeah, at the beginning there seemed to be quite a few issues with the logging in or the show starting, but it seems to be back on track.
Well, yeah, I was very worried because I heard about the glitches early on and I was like, ah, shit, don't tell me this is just gonna be a super bug service. But apparently it's worked out.
Yeah, I was having issues logging in at the start and I heard about these issues, so that's what I thought it was, and I just kept waiting and waiting for me to log in. Mm-hmm. And no, apparently it was an issue with my credit card. Apparently I haven't been paying my credit for the last few months. They froze my account until I paid, and I was like, okay guys, I'll pay whatever you want, just give me Disney Plus. So I like called my bank. I was like, so what's going on? I've been trying to use my card, is there an issue? They're like, oh yeah, you haven't been paying your credit card. And I was like, I keep forgetting that I have to do that. I thought it was just automatic.
Jeez, yeah, that's kind of bad.
Yeah, they were like, how often do you pay? I was like, I normally pay when I look at my bank and I go, oh, this is a pretty high number. I guess you should just pay it off then. And she's like, wait, you don't just pay monthly? I was like, no, you just look at the amount, and if it's low, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it later.
Take it from someone that normally has terrible credit. That's not good.
Yeah, I was like, touche, woman, touche. I will start doing that. Probably don't have the best credit, but I got Disney Plus, so who really cares?
Yeah, I mean, you got Disney Plus, so it's all good.
Now, an issue that hasn't been resolved is The Simpsons, and that is the fact that the show Simpsons has been stretched for the older episodes. I don't know if the newer episodes have been ruined, but I know the older ones, since the TVs have changed in size from when Simpsons was originally out.
Mm-hmm.
They've cut some of the frames, they've stretched some of the images. And this has really upset people. I didn't think it was as big of a deal as it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've been meaning to watch The Simpsons since I've got Disney Plus up. For some reason, I haven't gotten around to it. I guess it's because of all the old Disney content I've been meaning to go back on.
Yeah, I've watched the first season and a half of The Simpsons, so I've binged quite a bit of it. And I didn't notice anything too horrible about it. I never once looked at it and went, oh, wow, yeah, the image is kind of crappy. But some of the jokes are missing because they cut some of the framing. And that's kind of a bummer because you don't want to ruin any of that. And Disney has announced that they will resolve the issue sometime in 2020. So who knows? It might be in a year from now. But sometime in 2020, they'll have an option where you can change the frame.
Fair enough. Okay. I feel like people are actually going to enjoy that option because then it just makes Simpsons feel classic.
Yeah, I think that's exciting. And I think it's something they should have thought about from the start. But it's good that they're stepping forward and they're going to fix that up. And the final thing, the third big story of Disney Plus already, a lot of negativity around some of these smaller things, but once again, it is the warning that Disney has for some of their films, such as the cartoon Dumbo and Lady and the Tramp. And it's a warning that informs the viewers at the start of the film that it may contain outdated cultural depictions, which is directly speaking about the crows from Dumbo and the Siamese cats from Lady and the Tramp. So some people aren't too happy that that's really all they're doing is giving a little warning, and they kind of make it sound like it's not a big deal. But like, what are people complaining about? Do you want them to change the movie?
People are too sensitive.
They've obviously removed the crows from the live-action Dumbo, and the Siamese cats from the live-action Lady and the Tramp. I watched Lady and the Tramp. There was no Siamese cats, so they fixed that issue. So they fixed the issues in the updated ones. But yeah, in the classics, they can't just cut these really big scenes in the films, actually. The crows and the cats are pretty big in the films.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw Peter Pan last night, and of course they have the big scene with the indigenous stuff in it, and right. I didn't even notice the warning. Even paying attention to it.
That's true. Yeah, the two examples they gave were Dumbo and Lady and the Tramp. Yeah, I wonder if they had that for Peter Pan.
I remember reading in this article, for example, it resulted Peter Pan apparently did get a warning, and same thing with the Aristocats. I'm not sure if you've seen the Aristocats. But one of the cats plays the piano with chopsticks.
Oh, really? Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And, of course, people are taking cultural racist exception to that.
Yeah, I've seen the Aristocats, but I kind of blocked it out because it's the Aristocats.
Get this. You remember the movie Pocahontas, right?
Yes.
Apparently, the film has no warning on it whatsoever.
Why? What was so bad about that film?
Well, apparently it has a lot of indigenous stereotypes and historical inaccuracies.
I'm sure it does. I haven't seen the film in at least 8 years. It's been a really long time since I've seen Pocahontas. I'm not a Pocahontas stan. I don't remember anything too bad about that film. I thought they did a pretty good job representing the culture there. And also, Pocahontas is from, what, 1999? So I felt like at that time they are more cautious about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lady and the Tramp, Dumbo, Aristocats, Peter Pan. Those are all, what, 1970?
Peter Pan was in the 50s, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think any of them are actually in the 70s. They're all probably, close to the 50s. So that's probably why they're more culturally insensitive. But I imagine Pocahontas is more sensitive to that kind of stuff. Maybe I'll rewatch it. I'm sure they make a few inappropriate jokes in today's standards, but...
Mm-hmm. Pocahontas was made in the mid-1990s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's right on the edge of when all those stereotypes became, like, a larger problem.
Yeah, it's made the same year as Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
So, I imagine it's okay, or at least better than some of these other depictions. Mm. What have you watched for Disney Plus so far? Have you watched any of the originals, the new exclusives they got?
I have not. I've been meaning to sit down and watch The Mandalorian. Shout out to Baby Yoda. But no, I've watched Treasure Planet at least 3 times. Like I said, I would.
Oh my gosh, you've watched it 3 times, but you haven't seen the live-action Lady and the Tramp?
No, I haven't seen the live-action Lady and the Tramp. Yeah, Treasure Planet at least 3 times. The girlfriend and I saw Peter Pan. Then I watched a couple nostalgia things for me. I watched the Peter Pan sequel, which is called Return to Neverland.
Yeah, yeah, that's a classic.
I remember as a kid watching that like at least 10 times. And just watching it had like all the nostalgia come back to me. It was really weird. And then I know you probably don't watch this, but I remember having a movie. And it was like this really old Mighty Ducks cartoon. So not the movies, but it was a cartoon based off the movies. And they took the first 2 episodes of that cartoon and made a VHS movie of that. And I remember I watched the shit out of that VHS movie. So I watched the first two episodes of that cartoon because, you know, nostalgia reasons. What else have I been watching on Disney Plus? It's been a crazy nostalgia trip for me, to be honest. Nothing better than that, obviously. But I'm assuming you've had more time to watch everything else on it.
Yeah, I've mentioned quite a few already. I've watched the first season half of Simpsons, Lady and the Tramp film. That was a really good movie, actually. I really liked it. And then I watched both episodes of The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, I did start watching the first episode of that.
Yeah, you gotta watch that. And then I watched the first 5 films of Star Wars, which I've never seen in my life. They were pretty good. I watched Emperor's New Groove and and then Avengers Endgame. And I believe that was everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put on Avengers Endgame to fall asleep to one night.
Yeah, I didn't finish. I watched half of it and then I was like, okay, I should go focus on Star Wars again. I'm a man on a mission. I gotta get to it.
Yeah, you still got plenty of time.
Exactly. I got nothing but time. So Disney Plus has got all of our attention. Apple who? I don't know. But a lot of these other streaming services have taken this week as a way to promote their stuff, kind of let people know, hey guys, you should still subscribe to us. I know Disney Plus is superior, but like we're pretty cool. And the first one to really come out was Netflix announcing their multi-year deal with Nickelodeon. So the greatest children's film company, Disney, has released their streaming service. So Netflix is rebutting with the greatest children's television company, Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great call. They've lost all the children audiences with Disney Plus. So what better way to get children's attention than with Nickelodeon being announced?
Right. I mean, obviously, this shouldn't be a surprise. It obviously stems from the whole Disney Plus just came out thing. But yeah, here we go. Nickelodeon's going to be on Netflix. And I don't know about you. I don't pay for my Netflix. So I'll be enjoying some Nickelodeon stuff when it comes out.
Yes, I'm still going to be watching Netflix. I've actually kind of grown a new appreciation for Netflix. I've been watching some of their original films because I've always had that stigma in my head that Netflix films, they're garbage. But after I watched El Camino, I kind of thought, you know what? Sure, Netflix doesn't have this multi-million dollar budget, but El Camino is still a great film. So I've been watching a few of their other films recently, and I love them. There's a few more coming out that I'm excited for. So I still love Netflix. That's still maybe my favorite streaming service. Probably not right now, but it's still my second favorite at the moment. I love Netflix. It's still in my heart. And I'm excited. I think Nickelodeon is a great way to do exactly what Disney is doing, and that is hitting the nostalgia for adults and hitting the younger audiences. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like some of the Netflix films too as well. I think Netflix films, when it comes to it, are very hit and miss. There are a couple Netflix films that I'm waiting for.
Yeah, they've announced that they're going to be having original films and shows based on the Nickelodeon products, as well as new ones. So, Alex, what product of Nickelodeon's do you want them to make a new season for or a movie?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of nostalgia factors. There's a lot of old shows. I don't really know much of the new shows. That's tough. Because growing up, I watched a lot of like the SpongeBob, the Fairly Odd Parents, that kind of stuff. But they've already made a SpongeBob movie, and I don't think a Fairly Odd Parents movie would be profitable.
They're making a third SpongeBob film right now. It's already been announced.
I know. I saw the trailer, and I was like, fuck is this?
Yeah, I'd even watch it. I saw the first 10 seconds, and I was like, no, I'm out.
The animation was so goofy. I remember watching iCarly as a kid and enjoying that. For some reason, I thought iCarly was so fun.
Not saying that I want a movie or a new season off this show, because I don't. I don't want... It's similar to... Well, okay, so it's not similar to Breaking Bad. Similar to Friends, where I think the show's perfect. I don't want them to ruin it by adding anything else to it. It's a perfect sitcom, and that's Drake and Josh. I want to binge the crap out of that. Oh,
of course, Drake and Josh.
So I'm excited for that.
If they put Drake and Josh on Netflix, you can bet your ass I'll have it binged in a week. That was one of my favorite shows as a younger kid.
It's so good.
And then it ended, and that was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really want to see Fat Josh again, knowing like how he looks now in real life.
Oh, the jokes are so good in that show.
Like, where did it happen?
Are you calling me a liar? Well, I ain't calling you a truther.
I miss that show. I need to watch it again. Man, this episode of the podcast is basically a gigantic nostalgia boner.
Yeah, this is just us just jerking off to all these great shows and films. I think a show that they could make a movie, an original Netflix film, could be Danny Phantom. I think that'd be a good film since they haven't made one yet.
A Danny Phantom film. I don't think I remember liking that show growing up for some reason. I don't know.
I loved the show growing up, and I don't think it has as much nostalgia for people, so I don't think a film would really ruin it as much. I think it's one of those safe bets, but at the same time, how many people, aside from me, are clamoring for a Danny Phantom movie?
I mean, yeah, it's about the same amount that are clamoring for a Clayface movie.
Whoa, yeah, literally the same one person.
Exactly.
And for making a new season, I think they should do a new rebirth of Jimmy Neutron. I think that'd be a great show to make a new season for.
You know what? That is a great idea. I'd watch a new season of Jimmy Neutron. That was a fun show.
I think that'd be a great show for modern times. It's just about a boy that's motherfucking genius. I think kids would still relate to that. That is Netflix stepping in this week saying, hey, sure, Disney Plus has got all these other great shows, but like, we got nostalgia now, we got Nickelodeon, and they're not the only streaming service coming out this week with some big news. HBO Max has now come forward to announce that, I like how I just said, oh, just like Drake and Josh, I wouldn't want Friends to make a film or a new season of the show. I totally forgot about the story. I did not do this on purpose. But yes, Friends is now going to have an exclusive reunion bonus episode coming out on HBO Max exclusively when it launches.
Why?
I don't know the sell here. I don't know what the pitch is. Yes, Friends is a huge show. It is one of Netflix's biggest shows that they did have. It was their second biggest after The Office. And it's now moving to HBO Max. I really think that's all HBO Max needs. I don't think they need anything else. I think the Friends fans are going to get HBO Max for Friends either way, with or without an exclusive episode. So I don't know what the draw is here, and I'm not excited for it. I've been a defender of Friends does not need a reboot, a bonus episode, a reunion show, a film. Friends needs nothing. It ended on a perfect note, similar to Breaking Bad. It doesn't need anything else. But Breaking Bad had El Camino, and it was a brilliant film. So I'm cautiously optimistic for whatever's in store.
Here's what I'll say about it. Friends is by far one of the most popular things ever. Let's just get it out of the way. It's one of the most popular things ever. HBO Max is a streaming service that needs something to spice up its release. Don't you think that this is the perfect thing to spice up the release and make it something that people are going to want to go buy on opening day?
That's fair. I guess it is a good reason for HBO Max to say, you need to subscribe to our service first day, like on launch day. You need the service because we got this bonus episode ready to go. I do think, similar to the first episode of Mandalorian, you need to get Disney Plus right away and get this awesome show based off of an awesome franchise. HBO Max is kind of doing the same thing where they're saying, hey guys, you know Disney Plus is big this week, but keep in mind, remember our streaming service, we are now going to give you an exclusive thing on launch day about a successful franchise. So,
What is it about Jen Aniston getting back into TV?
Yeah, it's crazy how she is doing the morning show and now she's doing this.
Like, the morning show was the first TV she's done since Friends. That's actually a surprising fact I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I'm not surprised. If you were to ask me, has she done anything on television after Friends? I would say no, because I couldn't think of anything. But yeah, it makes sense. It's just because she was so big, she started doing film. I kind of like her in television. I think she's a good television actress.
This is a controversial statement I'm about to make here. But I think you have to be a lot more talented, and it's a lot harder to film a good TV series than it is a movie.
I don't necessarily agree, but I don't follow the sentiment of, oh, you're a TV actor, that means you're less talented than a movie actor. I don't think it's harder to do TV, but I don't think that means you're a bad actor. I think it's more comfortable.
Okay, think about it like this. A movie actor, they go and do their role for an hour and a half, 2 hour long movie. A TV actor, they do, let's say, 10-hour long episodes. That's 10 total hours of filming. That's basically a 10-hour movie. You're doing a lot more work. You're learning a lot more lines. You're acting more than someone would do in a movie. And to make, like, a really good TV series, it's impressive.
My argument would be you have 10 episodes to fully flesh out this character, to really get into the mindset of this character. So like you kind of become this character in television and you kind of fit into this niche role. It's kind of like your second personality. But in films, you suddenly have to, for Joaquin Phoenix, he has to be the Joker in an hour and a half. He has to get into the mindset of a Joker in such a short time frame and portray this character so effectively in only a short time frame. And then what? Then he has to jump to a completely different character in a few months to be in a different film, when one person can just be Joey Tribbiani. Like Matt LeBlanc only has to be Joey Tribbiani for 10 plus years. He doesn't need to change his acting style or his quirks or anything, because those quirks are his character. So it's easier, I think.
Fair enough. You make a valid point.
Yeah, the Friends exclusive, now that it's a thing, there's no turning back now. My best case scenario is it's just hour-long episode of the six actors and actresses just sitting in the same room together. I want them in the same room together, sitting on the iconic couch and just talking about their favorite experiences from the show. I know that sounds really boring and kind of pointless, but that's my best case scenario. worst case scenario is they have these six much older versions of their characters pretending they still have the same jobs, living in, drinking coffee at a coffee house, and have like super silly problems like they used to have back in the original show. Like if they try to recreate one special episode, I could see disaster being spelled for this episode. But if it's just like the six actors and actresses not playing themselves, but just talking about their experience, that could be fun.
I like they're doing a commentary.
Yes, a commentary. Or yeah, that'd be cool if we had like a collage of like iconic moments and they just talk about behind the scenes or their thoughts on it. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd watch that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but I think that's best case scenario. Fingers crossed.
Crossing fingers. Well, especially for you, since I know you have like a major Friends boner.
And whatever. Not as big of a deal. But what is a big deal, Alex, is this next story. I think the best story of the week, aside from watching Disney Plus, and that is the newly announced Nicolas Cage movie.
Yes.
So I told Alex to not click on this. I want to enjoy his authentic reaction to this entire article. And trust me, Alex, I double, triple checked to make sure this was a legitimate story. It is. You can't make this up. This is 100% real. I verified four different news articles. They all have the same story. I'm happy to announce that there is a film. It's called Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which... what's your thoughts on that title, Alex?
Unbearable Weight and Massive Talent? Someone has a massive talent for something but is extremely fat?
It's such a stupid name. If you're going to have a movie about Nicolas Cage, just call it The Nicolas Cage Movie. Would that not be a great title?
Yeah, I mean, The Nicolas Cage Movie. I like it.
Or Nicolas Cage, The Movie.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I'm not going to hate on it too much because the rest of this film just sounds absolutely perfect. And here is the description of what the film is. I'm going to try and talk this slowly with you because it takes so many fucking weird turns that if I say it all really fast, you might be confused, because I was confused. So the character's name is Nicolas Cage. And the plot is he runs into a 1990s version of himself. So he runs into himself from the past.
Okay.
And the past Nicolas Cage, the 1990s Nicolas Cage, mocks the current Nicolas Cage for not being famous anymore and only doing shitty films.
Okay.
The modern Nicolas Cage is also in debt, and he attends a Mexican drug cartel's birthday party where the person that invited him to the party wants Cage to look at the really bad script that he wrote, and he wants him to star in the really bad movie.
Okay.
And that is all we know. That's the plot.
What?
Yeah.
Can I click on the link now?
Yeah, sure. You can click on the link. So that's all we have for the plot. That's the entire thing so far. Obviously, the movie was just announced, so they don't have much to reveal yet. And I'm telling you right now, I am loving every moment of this. This movie is going to be iconic. I'm just saying it right now. This is going to be a movie to be remembered. I'm going to make this call right now. People say 2019 is one of the best years of film in the last few years. If this movie comes out the same year as live-action horror-style Barney, that's going to be the greatest year of all time in film.
That's going to be the greatest year of all time.
Yep. If those two films are in the same year, it's game over. It's done. That's it.
Okay.
Now, this all leads to the best part, Alex, okay? I didn't even tell you the funniest part. Okay.
What's the funniest part?
Okay. All right, I'm going to try not like laugh right now. I'm going to try and contain myself. This is a very professional podcast. Okay. Nicolas Cage himself has auditioned for the role, and he is being considered for the role of his own character. But hold on. Hold on. They are looking at other options for this role. So just imagine. Just imagine. There is a Nicolas Cage movie that Nicolas Cage auditions for the role of himself, and he gets turned down because he is too shitty of an actor. Just imagine if that is the world we live in.
Oh my god. Yo, it's the best movie of the year.
I really hope, I love Nicolas Cage, but the dream is they get, like, motherfucking Matt LeBlanc as Joey Tribbiani, to get Matt LeBlanc as Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is not playing himself, but he plays someone else in the film. That's the dream. Okay, guys, that is the goal of this film. I want Nicolas Cage in the movie. I want him in the movie, but I want him to play as, like, the damsel in distress or something.
I never knew I needed this in my life until today.
Maybe he can play the Mexican drug cartel and he's showing a shitty script to Joey Tribbiani.
Mm-hmm.
I just burst out laughing when I read that part of the article. All it says is Nicolas Cage has auditioned for the role, but they are looking at other options, so it's not confirmed yet. And just, that's all I need. That's all I need.
That is hilarious.
And that is why this is the best story of the week. I can't contain myself. Imagine. Just imagine. Mm-hmm. You can't make this up. You just can't. So another update for films. Obviously, this isn't nowhere near as amazing as the Nicolas Cage movie. But
absolutely not.
We do have a Sonic update. I forget, Alex, did we talk about the original Sonic trailer on our podcast, or was that before this podcast?
It's possible that the original trailer came out before the podcast existed.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Because, well, yeah, definitely if the podcast existed when this came out, we would have talked about it. I feel like we did, but at the same time, I could be wrong. So who knows? There is a Sonic update to what was the original Sonic, which was just horrible. And he looks really good now. That's pretty much all there is to say about it.
It's not this beady-eyed piece of shit. It's actually looks like the animated character.
Yeah, he looks like Sonic. It's that simple. It's great.
He looks like Sonic.
And so they changed the design of Sonic due to the outrage from the fans online. And I think the film's going to be much better for it. I think it is amazing that the company was willing to spend that much more money on the film just to make the audience happy. Brilliant marketing technique. I think it's great.
Well, yeah, they're going to want to be able to make money off the movie. And the only way they're going to do that is actually make it likable.
Now, something occurred to me this week. I didn't think of this myself. Someone made a joke about it online, and it struck a chord with me, and I went, oh man, I actually think this guy's right. Even though he said it as a joke, I think this is what actually happened. Tinfoil Hat is coming on tonight, guys. I think that the company already had a new style for Sonic. It was already made. This was going to be the original movie. They didn't change anything. They just made a really bad looking Sonic. They put it in a trailer because they wanted the audience to react. Wow, this is the worst. This sucks. That Sonic's garbage. I'm not going to watch this film. And then they go, oh, wait, we'll fix it for you guys. We love you guys so much. We'll fix it. We'll fix the problem. So now they look like the heroes. Now everyone loves them. Everyone thinks that they made this big difference. And they're all going to go to the movies now because, wow, they listen to us. We have a voice. I think this Sonic was the original Sonic. There's no way they made that original ugly looking piece of shit and actually thought that was going to be a Sonic.
You might be right on that. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Just that original Sonic. I looked at the comparison. The first one looks so bad. There's no way they thought that was actually going to be a good Sonic. So I'm starting to think they purposely made one so atrociously bad. So when they make one that just looks like Sonic, it doesn't look amazing. It just looks like Sonic. That's what you expect. But now everyone's like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. It actually looks like him. They kind of made us think, wow, I guess it could have been worse. It could have been that ugly garbage that we saw a few months ago. So does the film look that great? Does the trailer look that great? No. But hey, they listened to us. It looks like Sonic now. It doesn't look like garbage. So hey, now people are excited for it. People are hyped for this film when really it doesn't even look like that good of a film. But at least it doesn't look like garbage now.
It looks pretty cookie cutter if you ask me.
Yeah, it's just a basic Sonic film. Like, it doesn't look creative. It's no Detective Pikachu. There's not like a creative spin on an iconic video game. It's just Sonic, which is fine. I'm excited for it. I just think they took a basic idea and they thought, you know what? We're going to show people how bad it could actually be. And then when we give them something mediocre, they'll be hyped.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, people are excited for this film, and really, it's just a Sonic film. It's no Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah, you're right. It's not the Nicolas Cage movie. I'll be watching the Nicolas Cage movie over this one.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I'm watching that opening night if someone else plays Nicolas Cage.
If someone else plays Nicolas Cage.
I'll still watch it the first week if Nicolas Cage plays himself, but if someone else plays him, I will watch the opening night. That'd be so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember all those stories about how angry Jared Leto was that someone took his Joker role?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be like 10 times that. Nicolas Cage being upset that someone took the role of himself.
And it's justifiable.
Yeah, it's literally his own role. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm getting too excited. They're going to cast him. But, like, just the idea of them not doing that just makes me smile. It makes me giddy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something that doesn't make me smile, and I kind of just want to talk about it because it was a relatively big deal, and that was the latest episode of Survivor. I know you don't watch the show anymore, at least. Have you seen the news articles? Have you heard about the buzz that happened with the last episode of Survivor?
I've definitely heard that something happened. And I have a slight idea of what happened, but I kind of want you to explain to me what happened, because the last time I remember something this big blowing up about Survivor was the whole Jeff Varner incident from Game Changers.
Yes, and I would argue this is worse.
Okay.
I don't know if it went as viral as the Varner one. I'm going to quickly summarize this. I don't want to go too deep into it, but I'll do like a quick summary of what happened, and then there's like a few points I want to make afterwards, and really the main reason I want to get to the story. But what happened is there is this contestant on the show Survivor. In case you guys don't know how the show works, they put a bunch of normal people, or okay, well, not normal, a bunch of freaking weirdos on an island. They record them, and that's pretty much it. You vote people out. In the premiere of this season, there is this guy named Dan. He has been touching the girls in the season, not in like the way you might think. He's just like brushing their hair. He's laying his head on their stomachs. He's playing with their toes. He's doing really weird things. Not only that, but one of the castaways in the premiere pulled him aside. Her name is Kelly, and she told him, "Hey, you playing with my hair and touching me in all these ways, it just makes me uncomfortable." It seemed okay. He seemed to kind of understand. And then he kind of started doing it a few more times throughout the show. They showed it a few times. It wasn't really a big focus until this episode, which came out this week. He was touching some of the girls again. And the girl, Kelly, she left during a tribe swap, and she finally got reunited with this guy. And it started happening again. She got very upset. And really, the other big focus of the story is she goes to the girls on the other tribe, girls that she doesn't really know, but these other very attractive girls that were on the tribe with this Dan guy. And she was telling them about all the things that he did to them. And they started agreeing with her. Oh, yeah, he did the same thing when we were on the tribe with him and you weren't there. It was horrible. Then we get a scene with these two girls. Their names are Missy and Elizabeth. They explain privately away from Kelly, yeah, we're playing this up. He didn't do anything that inappropriate with us. It's just been with Kelly. But we want Kelly to go along with it and think that we're victims as well. So she's going to be focused on taking Dan out instead of us. They saw this as a strategic way of swaying the vote so they have the majority. And that's where this story has just erupted. So the first round, they blindsided Kelly. Kelly thought it was going to be this big moment for all the girls. They're going to take out this guy, Dan, who's been touching all of them. They blindside Kelly. She leaves. She's on the jury. And really, I think this next episode is where it gets really bad, because Dan is asking why he's getting all these accusations against him. He was warned by Kelly in the premiere. Production at this point has now warned him about it. And the girls are all saying, oh, Kelly's making it up. You're doing nothing wrong, Dan. They're still playing the game. They're telling Dan he's fine. They're fine. Nothing's going on. And then during the second tribal, Kelly is on the jury. And for those of you that don't know, the jury is people that are voted out. They can vote for the winner at the end, so they get to attend every tribal and listen in on the gameplay. And so Kelly is sitting there on the jury. She is unable to talk because she is a jury member and no longer active in the game. She is sitting there as Missy and Elizabeth talk about how Kelly made the story up. And Dan is talking about how, well, if I did it, then I apologize, but no one's told me that I did anything wrong. And Kelly can't say anything. She can just sit there and listen as everyone says how she made all of this up. So this has struck a lot of the hashtag Me Too movement, really, this week. I've seen a lot of articles on it. And yeah, it's been a relatively big story. That was I guess it was kind of long. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
Wow. Okay. That is... That's something else. Oh my God.
First thing I want to talk about, and it's one that a lot of people have been talking about in articles and online, and it is, should the producers have just pulled Dan from the game?
So when did he receive this warning from production specifically?
The same round Kelly was voted off.
Did he continue to do it after he got his warning?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So if he's received his warning, then that's it. If he does it again, then he should be booted off. But he's received his official production warning now. There's nothing much more that can be done after that.
That's a good way to look at it. I actually agree with that. Now, the other thing that people look at is, should Kelly have had a moment to speak up during that second tribal? She was on the jury, couldn't say anything. And a lot of people are really upset that it really is like against everything that they've been saying. And it's just this woman being silenced for being touched. Now, no jury member has ever been allowed to speak. That's just a rule in the show. And people are saying it would have been justified for them to break kind of a solidified rule for the show and have Kelly just give a one sentence explanation and say, I didn't lie. Dan, you really did that to me.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean,
it is tough. And that's the big question. It goes against format of the game, but this was just so bad. It was really horrible to sit through.
I don't know how to approach this. Honestly, this is one of the most, this is the weirdest thing that has happened to Survivor in a long time.
Yeah. It's crazy. And the reason why I think this is worse than the Varner situation, which if you guys don't know that story, you can look it up. I'm not going to go into that detail. But the reason why I see this as different is the Varner one was a one episode thing. The episode where Varner did that pretty horrible thing, he left the same episode. So it was done. It was over with. Nobody looked at it again. Missy and Elizabeth, the girls that turn this into a strategic move, they're still in the game. Dan, who thinks he's innocent at this point, is still in the game. We still have these people in the game. All three of them are in the majority, so it's not looking too good. And that's what sucks, because we're going to be seeing this for quite a few more episodes. I live and breathe the show. I'm sad to admit I've spent the most money out of anything in my life on the show Survivor. I've spent a lot of time and love to this show. I'm a big fan. And I normally say, nope, gotta stick to the rules. But honestly, last season they had a twist where the first boot could return at the final five and win the game. At this point, the show is such a joke that I don't really think they have any loyalties to the structure of the show. I think they should have just let her say a sentence. Maybe she could have, like, talked to production. They could have made a sentence for her to say, like, could have, like, helped her make sure she said something that wouldn't affect the game. So let's talk about something a little more enjoyable. I just wanted to have a fun little silly story before we talk about another big controversial story in sports. And it is quite a mind-blowing story, and that is Kim Kardashian coming on an interview and revealing that she eats chocolate in a very weird way. Do you know how she eats it?
No.
Okay, Alex, tell me, just guess how you think she eats M&Ms.
M&Ms?
Yes.
There's really only one way to eat M&Ms. I mean, does she suck on them until they melt in her mouth?
Uh-uh. You're kind of on the right track. And I'll tell you right now, when I read this, I had one of those moments where my mind was just blown. I don't think I'll eat M&Ms the same way again. I am standing Kim here. She eats M&Ms by microwaving them for 20 seconds. So inside, it's melted. On the outside, it's the coated candy. So when you take a bite, it's melted chocolate.
What?
Yep.
Yo, this can't be a thing.
Apparently, Kim has come out on the record and said this is how she eats M&Ms. She changed the game.
Have you tried this?
No, I don't eat chocolate.
I need to go find some M&Ms.
But yeah, next time I have M&Ms, which won't be for a while, but you know, whenever I do, I will try this. And I am flipping out. This sounds amazing. I stand Kim. This story just blew my mind. I am so stoked to try this now. It seems like a brilliant idea. Alex, is there a kind of food that you eat different from most people? I'm sure it's not going to be as mind-blowing as Kim and the melted M&Ms, but is there something that you eat that would be very strange to most people?
That would be strange to most people. I wouldn't say I've eaten anything weird, but I will admit I have created food combinations that have been questionably weird, to say the least.
What would that be?
I once ate rice out of a hard taco shell.
Why the fuck would you do that?
For some reason, I don't know. There was taco shells in the kitchen. There was rice, and I was like, fuck it, let's do something weird. The other weird food thing I think I've done was I once drank a container of KFC gravy.
Ew.
Someone bet me $20 if I could drink the entire thing of gravy. So that's what I did, and I got $20 out of it.
Okay, you did it for money. Okay, I forgive you. The only thing that I eat kind of weird, I don't know, I feel like I'm a pretty basic person. I don't do anything that crazy. I don't do shots of gravy or eat rice and taco shells, but I eat pizza slices backwards. I don't know how weird that is.
It's very uncommon unless it's like the stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut.
Yeah, well, because I'm always the mindset of the middle part's the best part.
And everyone would say you're completely wrong. The crust is the best part of the pizza.
Oh, come on. The middle part is like the greasiest. It's like dripping with flavor. It's got like all the toppings on.
It's got all the things on top, but if you just have like a soggy, sad crust, it ruins the experience. The crust is everything. It means everything.
Yeah, but like even if it's a good or bad crust, the middle part's always good.
Yeah, sometimes not really.
Anyways, that is it for the stories here. Bring us on to sports, Alex. What do we got?
You had to be living under a rock to at least not heard about this. Have you heard about the Don Cherry story?
Yes, I've heard about this a lot. I was going to put this as the starting story, But then I saw you already put this on the list, and I was like, oh yeah, that's true. We'll just keep it in sports. I don't know why we were going to shake things up. But yes, I think this is the biggest story of the week, really.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, you got to be living under a rock to not hear about this. And I can't believe Don Cherry is fighting for the biggest story of the week when Disney Plus came out. But yeah, it's here. So Don Cherry, famous hockey sports broadcaster for over 40 years, got fired from his job for a comment that he made on his Saturday night show, where he makes a "you people" comment. Now, in regards to the story, he used the words "you people," and the entire quote states, "You people love our way of life, love our milk and honey. At least you could pay a couple of bucks for a poppy or something like that. These guys paid for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada," in reference to the upcoming Remembrance Day ceremonies and poppies and whatnot. And a lot of people took exception to this. It was a Twitter outroar, as they believed that Don Cherry was targeting immigrants. And of course, Canada being a big country full of immigration, Cherry decided to step down. It was either he stepped down or he gets fired. That's how a lot of these things go. Where you see someone steps down after a controversial comment, it's because they were going to get fired. Cherry comes out saying that he doesn't regret anything that he said. Don Cherry is known in the past to make a lot of controversial comments. He agrees he could have worded the comment differently. Now he's just a retired 85-year-old.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it. I've listened to the video of him saying it and all the articles. I guess I just don't get the hype about this kind of stuff. I don't understand why it's a big deal that he is leaving. And he's 85 years old. And honestly, I'm not going to weigh in on whether his comment was appropriate or not. But I do love the badassness of him being like, I stand by it. What? If the guy really wanted his job back, he could have just done a half-assed apology. And then I'm sure the show could have made an excuse to put him back on.
Yeah, apparently the network was going to let him stay on, but it had to do with him making one of those half-assed apologies.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's what I imagined.
And he refused. He was like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Which is hilarious to me. I think that's badass. So that part's pretty funny. And yeah, if you really wanted the job, then you'd do that. I just think the guy's kind of like, you know what? This is a pretty badass way to leave. Well, okay, not really badass. This kind of sucks. Yeah. But, you know, he's 85. He can live his life now. He can wear all of his sexy looking suits. I don't think it's a big deal that he got fired. I don't have an issue with him getting fired because, yes, I'd like to look at the benefit of the doubt. And yes, I'm sure Don Cherry didn't mean those connotations we said, you people, but I have read some of the stuff he said in the past and he's made some remarks about it. Like he said himself, probably wasn't the best choice of words, but that's all mm-hmm. it takes. It's just the wrong choice of words and you could be in trouble. Something that is interesting though is this story. It's so funny how we talked about Apple program and the morning show. This is the exact same storyline as the first few episodes of The Morning Show. It was very eerie that I watched the behind the scenes of that show and then this situation happened a week after.
Yeah, the next show that comes out the following Saturday, Ron McLean, his co-host, comes out and speaks about it. He does the show by himself and he says there were steps that need to be taken and Don didn't want to do those steps.
Yes, and that apology video is actually what I'm referring to with the connection mm-hmm. to The Morning Show. That apology and just the words he uses about how we're doing our best to move forward, we don't stand by his actions and all these little things is the same terminology used when Jennifer Aniston's character says the same stuff about Steve Carell. Very interesting how it's clearly just the company trying to back themselves up and say, we're not associated, this and that. Saving their face there. It's very interesting. I said that was probably my favorite part about it.
We're going to go to a story about Colin Kaepernick. A little bit of backstory if you don't know about Colin Kaepernick. He is the very infamous NFL quarterback. I'm not sure if you remember this, Quentin, but it blew up a few years ago where he kneeled during the national anthem. Do you remember when that story blew up?
No.
You don't remember this?
I've never heard of this in my life. Someone kneeled and people are butthurt?
Well, yeah. So this week, he actually got a open workout where 26 of the 32 professional NFL teams came to his workout. He basically worked out in front of a teams, and there's actually Las Vegas betting websites that are betting on which teams actually sign him. But the main story behind it is the comments made by Colin Kaepernick during his workout. All right, he said, when you go back, tell your owners to stop being scared. That's what he told the scouts that actually came to the workout. So what do you think behind this story? Should Colin Kaepernick get another chance in the NFL, considering he was just basically ostracized for what he did?
Let me get this straight. He's working out in the same gym that other people on sports teams are working out?
No, not quite. The NFL scheduled a workout for him, in which all teams were invited to come and watch his workout.
Well, that's cute. I like to think he gave little pamphlets with hearts and stickers on it that says, "Comes to the BFF workout with Colin the gang." And then they're all like, "Well, I guess I want to hang out with my boy Colin at this workout." And it's like a little sweat gym. You got the little sweatband arm bracelets. They got the pink 5-pound weights. Picture like those yoga classes where he's like, "All right, guys, now give me the cat's meow," and they all like do like the stretch together. He's like, "A very good posture." I don't know other athletes' names. Sir Athlete McAthlete Face.
Athlete McAthlete Face. Man, it's amazing how quickly you forget about Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown is way above 5-pound. Colin and the gang workout sesh. Antonio Brown's got his own gym.
Okay, so we're going to leave that story for a little bit, and we're going to go to the last big story, which was Thursday Night Football had this brawl between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I want you to pull up the YouTube video and watch it for a few seconds until you get the point.
Okay, so there's an orgy going on.
Okay.
He took the helmet off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to figure out what happened. So he just took the helmet off and that was it. Rips the helmet off. The guy in the red jersey's like, "This helmet's mine now, bitch." Hits him in the head with it.
That's the key part.
Hits him in the head with his own helmet.
He took the other guy's helmet off and just decided to fucking plunk him over top the head with the helmet.
That's classic. That's on the same level of the movie Dodgeball, where Ben Stiller gets punched in the face by this woman and he like touches his face and it's bleeding. He's like, "You made me bleed my own blood."
Oh my God, that is a perfect comparison.
Thank you. See, I know my sports. I've seen the movie Dodgeball.
Oh my God, I wasn't expecting it to go to that. In any case, that is the big story behind this, is Myles Garrett, defensive end for the Cleveland Browns, ripping off the other team's quarterback helmet and just decides to fucking hammer fist swing the helmet at the guy's head. And of course, this has brought up a lot of controversy surrounding Myles Garrett, whether or not he should face criminal charges for assault, because of course, it's very illegal to do that on the football field. He's now been suspended indefinitely. If you notice in the video, the quarterback actually tries to rip Garrett's helmet off. And instead, Garrett ripped his helmet off and is like, "Nah, fuck that. I'm going to do that to you."
Yeah. This is hilarious. Okay, sure. This counts as abuse and, you know, it's kind of illegal. But, you know, all that aside, this is pretty funny. To hit someone with their own helmet, it's like you're in high school and you point and laugh at the loser in the corner and you're like, "Haha, you're a virgin. No one would ever have sex with you because you're stupid." And then he fucks your girlfriend. He literally uses your own thing against you. You know what? Yeah, he tried to take his helmet first, and you know what? No givey backsies. That's what that guy, that's what the red jersey guy says. He's like, no givey backsies. You want your helmet? Let me smack you on the head with it. And then he ran away with it.
No givey backsies.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what he said if you listen really closely to the audio.
Okay. In any case, the game led to basically four or five people getting suspensions and a bunch of other people getting fined. I think I was told there was over $500,000 worth of fines handed out to different people during the game. The Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield came out after the game, made a couple comments about it. Of his own teammate, he said, "It's inexcusable. I don't care rivalry or not. We can't do that. It's endangering the other team. It's an inexcusable. He knows that, and I hope he does now, and it's tough."
That guy sounds like he's fun at parties.
The funny thing is he's known for being like a fun, cocky jerk kind of guy.
I believe that is inexcusable.
So I'm guessing what you think of the story is basically this is the funniest thing you've seen in a football game.
No, the funniest thing I've seen in a football game is the fans that actually show up. But this is up there.
This is up there. Well, in any case, that was the last entertaining story in sports. So I'll let you take it away from there.
Well, that is it for this episode of Pop Topic. If you want, you can follow us on Instagram at poptopic_pod. And until next week, you can see me auditioning for the new Nicolas Cage movie. I have heard rumors that I'm going to be chosen over Nick Cage. I'm Quentin Phillipson.
Dang, I was going to kind of go off the same story.
Hey, it's the best story. You can go off of it.
All right. And I'm Alex, and I will be visiting the premiere of the movie Quentin, Inside the Mind of Quentin, where Quentin lives inside the mind of Quentin, who lives inside the mind of Quentin. I'm Alex.
That's quite a title.
It's like Inception, but with you. And
I guess it could be called Quinception.
Quinception. Why didn't I think of that? That's great.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.